podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it's the Anfield Rapids, John Gibbons hosting this week, and I'm joined by Paula Murphy, by Johnny Milburn and by Dan Morgan to look ahead to what should be a really exciting week. Now, Liverpool, a lucky club, we're lucky to have a long, illustrious history, but we are starting what could be one of the best weeks in our recent history, at least as we all get to watch the Reds lift the Premier League trophy on Wednesday night. It promises to be like nothing else we've ever seen before, and it's on the TV for free, so the whole world can see it. So we'll be looking forward to it. Looking forward to it, Paula?
I am. I really am. I mean, it's a two-pronged attack for me, because if the season had gone as normal, then I would have missed it, because it would have been May. I mean, obviously, we were going to do it anyway. So the fact that I'm here, but I'm like 20 miles down the road and can't go and have a pint round the corner and a pie is a little bit of a killer, but I really am looking forward to it. The fact that everyone can see this, I think, is going to be really good. And obviously, you know, I live most of the year in Egypt, and all the kids at school have been emailing me saying they can't wait, they're all tuning in, so that'll be good.
Yeah, it's not how any of us wants to, Johnny, but I like that they're using the opportunity to do something a little bit different. You know, this thing that they're building into the COP that we're getting a few grainy images of on social media and things like that. And it's going to be sort of spectacular what they've planned. And, you know, it's a good opportunity to be unbearable Wednesday night, mate.
Which is one of my specialisms. Yeah, I think it is good that they're trying to do something a bit different. I think being on a centre circle with a little platform and some confetti cannons in an empty stadium probably would have... I don't think it could ever be underwhelming given how long we've waited and what we've been through, but I just think visually it wouldn't look great. But the idea that the COP will be adorned with all of the banners, this brilliant platform behind it, it won't have that sense of a big empty space in the way that it would have been. Was it Schalke won a trophy in Germany and they got presented it within an empty stadium? It just looked a little bit limp. So I think I'm really, really excited about it. I'm certainly more excited about it than the match, to be honest with you. I've been half joking saying winning the league this early is a bit shit, but it is a little bit shit really, because the games have lost an awful lot of their edge and meaning for me. So I'm all about Wednesday night, but whatever time, maybe about 9:45, 10:00, something like that. Just cannot wait to see it.
Yeah, it could be a really spectacular image, Dan. I remember, you know, the Real Madrid, I mean, they've stopped it now, but when Steve McManaman was over there, sort of that era, and they all used to do a big parade, and then it'd finish a statue in the centre of Madrid, and they'd all climb up the statue. I mean, I don't know whether it was for health and safety reasons, or whether because I think the council just said you need to stop climbing on our statue, you know. But it was a big fountain in town, wasn't it? And all the players would be on different levels of this thing, and it looked sort of spectacular. And as I say, it stopped it. But there's an opportunity, not quite to do that, but to have it sort of on the cop. And I'm looking forward to seeing all the boys at kind of, you know, at different levels. I don't know who's going to make it all the way to 306. But, you know, it is an opportunity to do something visually quite spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, I'm bang up for seeing Sadio Mane on Silla's head in the middle of town, by the way. if that was ever a possibility, bang that on. Yeah, Trent stood on top of Elmer Rigby. But I'm into it.
Bobby Firmino with Queen Victoria's cock.
Hey, Google that if you're not sure what we mean.
I think the thing I've found, even in the manner in which we've won the title, is that there's sort of three celebrations when you win the title, and it's very rare that they happen at the same time. Obviously, there's the moment you win it, and then there's the trophy lift, and then there's the eventual parade. And ours have been so spaced out that we've sort of been able to prepare for all three. And I was always looking forward to the trophy lift the most. And I think Robertson spoke about it this week, didn't he? He said when you win a cup in a stadium, you know, you're getting a trophy there and then. So the wait for this, I think it's been telling in the players. I think they've carried the weight of this title win as much as us, even more so in some cases. You know, we're seeing how much it means to them now. So for them to sort of, to have the corroboration of being league title winners for us, but also for themselves, you think about how they've sort of try to embed their legacy as a great side. To do that, you have to win a league title. You have to win the competition that takes you 9 months of a season to complete. So for them, the sort of burden release everything for those players come Wednesday night is going to be absolutely huge. And I think they feel it as well. They feel, you know, the Liverpool support throughout the world, not just people who would be in Anfield but can't. They feel everybody around the globe. They feel their joy and their ecstasy at this. So that will be carrying them and be present with them on Wednesday night, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've been reading up on what's sort of going on, and I think a few people, as we know that Kenny's been involved. I really like this line I read. I think it was from The Echo, but it says, a special podium has been erected on the Kop with the legendary Sir Kenny Dalglish on hand to deliver the wedding winner's medals alongside Premier League CEO Richard Masters. And I just hope Richard gets the fuck out the way, Paul. You know what I mean? I've done gigs before when no one's interested in me. Do you know what I mean? And it's best to take a step back. He can hold the medals.
What is the saying? Let's hope he reads the room. I mean, that's the one thing that has really pleased me, is that the players know this isn't what they've worked their careers for. They know that, but they're going with it anyway, and they're going with the best of it, and they're looking forward to it. And I don't think we can expect more than that. And I think it's a really great touch that Kenny's given them the trophy. So let's just hope. My only worry, and I sort of don't even want to say this, is what is Henderson going to wear? I literally woke up. I don't sleep well at the best of times. I woke up about 4 o'clock this morning, and I just, in my head, I just went, John Terry, full kit wanker. I hope he doesn't. And I don't know what I'm expecting, but I hope we're all right with it. That's the only thing, because I'd hate for us to go, oh, but Jordan, though, what was he wearing? I'd hate for it to be a bit mad, that's all.
I think the shinies is the tipping point for me. that's what I'd say. Do you know what I mean? Like, he needs to match what everyone else is wearing, you know. Yeah. But I think for me, Melbourne, it's just leave them shinies, mates, and you should be all right.
I think the one thing, New Balance, obviously, RIP New Balance, are going to be out of the picture in the next few weeks. They've made some unbelievable Liverpool kits. We've had probably the best sustained run of kits under New Balance, but I've always been a bit of a fan for the training gear. I don't really buy kits, but I do like to buy the training gear for like playing five a side and going to the gym and stuff. So I really think if Jordan's got a decent New Balance rig out on, some decent webs, and allow him to wear the shirt, the match shirt, maybe Champions 1920 shirts they all got given at Formby Hall, I think that would be absolutely fitting and absolutely sound. Yeah. But I'm with you, Paul, and I'm not really into the idea of him, because Terry has gone down in folklore. Like, there are people all over the world being accused of doing a John Terry.
Exactly. It's a thing.
Following those folks. We don't want Jordan to become a meme. We want him to be regarded as one of the best captains in our club's history. So I hope he judges it right. So if you're watching Jordan, top's fine, that's about it, mate. Love you.
He loves it. Watches on YouTube. Do you know what I mean? Can't really get podcasts, but he watches on YouTube. I mean, they might do sorts of some 1920 gear. Who knows? I mean, again, Real Madrid, I keep going back to them today. You know, they were sort of, I always seem to have these ready-made T-shirts sort of available. I know they were all there for the party in Formby Hall, where they did this sort of 1920 stuff. So wouldn't surprise me to see a bit of that, or just something they've got to flog.
Well, they brought up like a new training kit. I thought, cheeky that by New Balance. Like, when the Project Restart came on board, they actually launched the new aqua green training kit, which they've actually been wearing in the last spell of the season. I thought, fair play to ringing every little last bit of dough out of the opportunity. But as I say, they brought up some really, really smart gear, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's something custom made and on hand for them to wear.
The players are looking forward to it, aren't they, Paula? And that's really nice to see. We were having a laugh this morning about Virgil van Dijk's Twitter. He's woke up on a Monday morning, raring to go, and feeling like he's got a big shiny thing to lift this week. And I know he's not the only one. I noticed Jeannie's Instagram over the weekend, you know, talking about it. You know, this is the big thing that they're looking forward to now, and made up for them on it.
I know, as I say, they've got every right to feel, I'll use the word aggrieved, but, you know, we understand the circumstances. They've got every right to feel, oh God, trust it to be us that's getting the sort of, you know, watered down version, but of the presentation. And what I love about them is they get how important it is to us, and they get that we're also feeling a bit, oh God, you know, trust us. So they're sort of feeling it on our behalf as well, which is brilliant, because I think there's players in other clubs who would literally only be bothered about themselves. They wouldn't give a damn about the fans, and ours do. So he's really started the week off. That tweet he put out this morning was absolutely hilarious. You might have to retweet it, John, but it's basically a fella getting out of a car and just giving it large with the dancing as the car drives. Yeah. And it's a really morning red. So, yeah, it's great that they're all sort of bang up for the build-up to Wednesday, and that we have a good time and a good chat and a good reminisce between now and Wednesday, because I think that's really important.
Yeah, it's a moment for them, isn't it, Johnny, to remember the sort of the journey they've been on, not just this season, but for a few seasons now, really. And, you know, you talk about looking forward to this more than the game. I think the players are probably the same. I mean, they want to put on a show in the game because no one wants to lift the trophy after you've got beat. But at the same time, I'm sure, you know, it's this that they're talking about in training rather than sort of, you know, can't wait to play against Chelsea.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you see I think we've got unprecedented access now to the team in terms of the stuff that LFC TV do, what the YouTube team do. You feel as though you know these players best than perhaps you've known previous incarnations of Liverpool, because you've seen these inside training videos. You've seen the stuff that goes on a match day, even when they're in the tunnel and before and after the game. So I think we they've also been allowed to express their own personalities through, like, the coconut water adverts and the other things that they've done. And I suppose it's dead easy to like a team who are successful, because, like, if they were doing that coconut water and finishing eighth in the league, I'm sure we would be like a little bit more human with them. But we've got a great team of players who are very, very hard to dislike, and you just feel as though you can imagine what it's like in Melwood there this morning. What they'll all be bouncing in, letting onto the dinner ladies, all up the you just know that there'll be a real sort of real nice atmosphere around the place this week, and they'll all be, I imagine, winding Henderson up, maybe even telling him he can't lift the trophy. I mean, I can just imagine it'll be an absolutely incredible atmosphere.
Yeah, Dan, it's nice to see a few of the interviewers knocking about as well. And Andy Robertson did an interview for the official website over the weekend, which I enjoyed. It wasn't just talking about this, it was talking about a few different things. His journey, actually, you know, and he was having a laugh saying, I think the summer where they signed me, Mo Salah and Oxlade-Chamberlain, that I was the one that maybe the fans were least excited about, which was sort of, you know, probably accurate, you know, if we're all looking back. But he also, you know, talked about Wednesday, and he said, his quote here from, he says, we can't wait. He says, obviously, when we won the Champions League last year, you get the trophy in a matter of minutes after the game, and then you don't let go of it. So we've had 3 weeks to wait, but it will be. But to see Hendo lift the trophy above his head will be emotional. And I think that word emotional that he's used is a good one and a nice one, really, because that's how a lot of us feel. But it will be an emotional moment for these players, you know, and obviously, you know, Andy Robertson during this interview was reflected on the journey he's been on. And he's not the only one who's had to really fight through a bit of adversity. A few people writing him off, you know, he got released at Celtic, and, you know, isn't the only one really who's had the sort of battle to get where he is. So I'm pleased that they will be emotional, because, you know, they deserve, you know, that kind of recollection of everything he's been through.
Yeah.
Absolutely, John, yeah. Yeah, I mean, just quickly on the Henderson diddle, there is a very quick answer, is to just put him on the bench and bring him on with 5 seconds to go, even if he can't run. Just get him to stand in a corner flag. It's justified chin pads then, John. So that's the answer to that. But yeah, in relation to what you're saying, yeah, I think what I think's been really interesting is that there's been a quiet narrative around some quarters of just start the season next season almost straight away, as soon as you can. As soon as this season finishes, start next season. They only need a week off, they only need 2 weeks off, whatever else. These players need a holiday after what they've gone through this season. They need that reset, because people sort of think that 3 months without playing football in lockdown was in some way a break for them, a breather. It was mental torture. So when we talk about a journey to this title has been the most elongated sort of torturous process with the whole null and void stuff in recent history for any side and any group of players. Not to mention a side who've gone 30 years without winning a thing and a team who got 97 points last year and still were denied it. So in that context, these players must be so sort of built up and pent up in terms of waiting for that release to lift this trophy and get that medal, because it's been something that the minute you walk into Liverpool, you know, the minute you walk into Liverpool, you've got ex-players telling you, you've got fans stopping you in the street and telling you, you've got everyone telling you we need to win the league. We need to win the league, we need to win the league, we need to win the league. And for them to get there, for them to get there in a way that they've had to, which is to basically say we need 100 points plus if we're going to win it. This isn't getting to 86 points and saying, yeah, that'll be enough every year. It's to sort of strive for perfection for 9 months, which they were nearly at for three quarters of the way, only for this pandemic to stop the momentum and just sort of make it all a bit of a new existence in terms of how they won the league. Yeah, all of that encapsulates, like I said before, this journey to get into this point, and it's going to be a massive let off for them.
Yeah, it will be a massive let off for so many of them, Paul. And, you know, they've all got their sort of own individual stories and sort of how they got there. But not least, obviously, the captain, because he's been on a journey just at Liverpool. You know, the ups and downs have been sort of well documented. We're putting something together. I don't think it's giving too much away, a little thing for social that'll be out at some point this week. You know, because we realised that basically Jordan Henderson's Liverpool career is almost exactly today that the length of the Anfield Rap's existence. So we've sort of, you know, documented. We, you know, we started some of the 2011 as well. So we've sort of documented perfectly almost, you know, the ups and downs and listening to a few of those early shows, which people have been doing for this. I think it's fair to say that the opinions were mixed on Jordan Henderson in that year. Even you know, performances, you know, people arguing over whether he played well or not, or you know, whether he was contributing. And, you know, he's aware of all that. He's had all of that. You know, there's the Fulham business, there's the when he's made captain, and was that the right time, and was he sort of the right person? And, you know, it is an amazing, I'd say, end. It's not the end, hopefully. Mm. Hopefully it's in many ways it's the start of a new chapter of him lifting lots of things. But it is, you know, I guess if the film was to end somewhere, it probably would be Wednesday. Yeah.
It is interesting that when you speak to, I'll use these sort of speech marks, new fans, they have no idea, or fans that have been interested in the last few years, and I see that a lot with Living Away.
Yeah.
They have no idea that we nearly let him go was a make-weight for Clint Dempsey. No idea. A lot of them have to Google Clint Dempsey because he's never heard of him. So that was a sort of low point. And you know, it should have been a mark as a man where he said, no, I'm going to stay and fight. And I'm always interested by people who take that sort of behaviour. So for me, I'm going to do a little plug here. About a week and a half ago, I had a piece up on the site about a written piece about team cohesion. I teach PE and I teach a lot of sort of basic psychology of sport and psychology of teams. And part of what I said was the way that at the moment Liverpool are really, really good in both aspects of cohesion, which is task cohesion and social cohesion. We really like each other. We like the owners. We like the backroom staff. They like each other. And we like the way that we play. And I don't think his role can be in any way underestimated in that. We've got five players in that team that are arguably could walk into any team in the world, five players. He's not one of them, by the way, but they would jump off a cliff for him. They would do whatever he told them to do. And that is, to me, a mark of him as a captain, that he manages to lead effectively, and they will follow some of the best players that currently play on the planet. And yeah, his role cannot be underestimated, I don't think.
That's a really good shout, that, isn't it, Johnny? And that, you know, for all our talents, which is in the bucketfuls, thankfully, and for, you know, for all the sort of, you know, egos that must be there, because, you know, the world superstars, and so I'm sure there's a few knocking around Melwood, no matter what they say, but they do see Jordan Henderson as the leader, don't they? They do all sorts of look up to him in many ways, and they do follow him out there, and they do trust him, you know, explicitly to do the right thing for them.
Yeah, I think in any team, you've got the absolute superstars, and your job is to give them the ball and make them look good and do their graft. And I think I'm not being unkind to Henderson to say he's not in that group. He's not the one that you look out for on the pitch to make things happen. But he's a facilitator and keeps everything going for the rest of the team. And I think the fact that he's, as Paula says, surrounded by genuine world superstars like Ballon d'Or, top 10 footballers. And he's got the mutual respect, but he doses out bollockings left, right, and centre, and every single one of them takes it from him. No, you get no back chat from people saying, like, "Who are you? I'm 10 times the player you are." I think he's a remarkable character. I think he's humble enough about his own ability, but his contribution to the team is immeasurable. I think there's a number of things that have happened post actually winning the league that you can say have potentially contributed to our patchy form. Him not being available will definitely be one of the things that's feeding into our performances, I think, at the moment. And I'm a bit nervous now thinking about this video that John's going to put out when the trophy gets lifted. I'm imagining, what did I say about Jordan Henderson in 2015 when I may have been a little bit frustrated with him. I love the fella. And that's to say, probably some of the criticisms at that time were not completely justified, by the way. Just a very brief thing. I bought at him. I went to a charity do a while ago. And I was bidding on one or two items, and I just got outbid every single time on all like reasonably nice big ticket items. It was the 2018 season, the season that ended in Kiev, and I ended up bidding on, because I'd been given a free ticket to this thing. I wanted to buy something for the auction just to sort of pay for me dinner, basically. So I ended up bidding on a Jordan Henderson framed signed photograph, right? And so, but I'll be dead honest, I kept it in the boot of my car for about like 6 months, because like at that particular, even that recent ago, I felt a bit weird having a signed picture of Jordan Henderson anywhere up in my house, even in my study, because actually he was an undecorated captain to a large extent.
Yeah.
It was one of those items that could just been like an interesting story to tell some point in the future. It's now up in my office, pride of place, and on display, because he now is up there in the pantheon of Liverpool great captains, and he's sealed it not only with his performances but with the honours he's had the pleasure to lift. And as John says, it isn't over for this lad. He's just turning 30 now. He's got plenty left in him, and you could see him be Liverpool captain for another 4 or 5 years quite easily, and God knows what else we could win in that period of time.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're all hoping this is, you know, just the start in terms of his lifting career, Dan, if you can call it that. You know, and as Johnny says, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, there were obviously question marks about, well, you know, is he a Liverpool captain? You know, is he, you know, going to end his career, you know, without sort of, you know, having achieved what many of them before. Now, you know, what he's done is almost unique, isn't it? You know, in terms of a sort of 12-month period. It's crazy to think, you know, considering, you know, what we have done in our history.
There's something else here, though, John, as well, is that he's player of the year. He's player of the year.
Yeah.
And this is a team who we're all eulogising about as being one of the greatest in Premier League history. He's been their best player. He's been the best player in this league for a season. And when people want to talk about him, still, I think he still gets sort of down with faint praise, to be honest. I think people think he's a great leader, but I still don't think there's the recognition for what a footballer he is. He's moved the ball better than anyone in this side this season. When we talk about tempo and talk about him setting Liverpool's tempo, he's not just keeping players on the feet, he's moving the ball faster and quicker in mind and in body than either the players he's playing with or against. To do that in this side, to be that quick of mind, to be that technically gifted, and then also to be that tactically gifted, that he's been able to sort of almost become our best number six and our best number eight. And people can have Fabinho conversations, absolutely, yeah, I'm happy to have them. He's a phenomenal footballer, but he has suffered when he's come back from injuries. That's been unfortunate that he got that knock against Napoli. Henderson has filled the void in both of those positions and looked like the best player on the park for 30 games this season. That is unbelievable. For a footballer who we would rightly, as the guys say, we were talking about when he first came as being maybe a little bit beige in terms of technical ability. No one could doubt his output in terms of effort and endeavour. But we all wondered sort of what his ceiling was in terms of just what he could do on a football pitch, in terms of impacting a game with his natural ability. That should be in no doubt now that, you know, he is not only a phenomenal leader, but he's a phenomenal footballer. His passing from deep is another attribute that even when people were trying to slag him off in 17-18, he could put the ball on sixpence from 50, 60, 70 yards. And yeah, for some reason, it just gets passed by. But don't ever lose sight of the fact that he's been the best player in this league this season. That's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And his performances, you know, do need pointing out as much of his leadership, Paula, because there's been so many great ones this season. And as Dan says, from different positions as well, you know, we've debated a lot over the last sort of 2-3 years about where his best position is. And obviously it's changed. Is he a six? Now, I actually think moving him around's helped him. Whereas maybe a year ago when I wouldn't have said that, I would have thought, oh, you know, he's being shifted and, you know, it's not allowing him to concentrate on one thing. I actually like him when he goes back to six now. I think he's able to take, you know, what he's got from playing further forward, you know, that dynamism, if you like, and sort of apply it to the knowledge he's gained from playing in that position. And I'd have him anywhere in that midfield three now.
Yeah, he really uses his brain. You can see that he's not just spraying passes. He's thinking and he's directing play. And I think, as Johnny said before, he's not shy of a bollocking, both on and off the pitch. And you can see it and you can hear it. And I'm loving the way that, I know we're not seeing him at the moment, but I'm loving the way that you can hear the interaction between the players, the way that the games are currently. He is able to direct players and people will listen to him. That's another point as well. They respect not only his sort of captaincy and his ability to sort of take a mature leadership, but they respect his football pedigree, and he can direct play and he will, you know, move players around. And I think his thinking and his planning on the ball is also giving other players the confidence to think that they can also do that. And you can see that in some of the ways that we play, that we play passes that shouldn't really, you know, be played, but they work. You know, that three touch pass from Alisson, right back, left back, centre forward. I think those kinds of plays come from having an intelligent player in the midfield, directing play and giving people confidence to make those choices.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. That's completely fair. And I mean, it'd be interesting to see how Jürgen sort of gets involved after the game, Johnny, because I think Jürgen loves these moments, but he almost loves them for the players. Do you know what I mean? And I think I've had a few interviews with people who know Jürgen well recently, and he says these are his favourite moments because he loves seeing how happy everyone else is. You know what I mean? And there's obviously the statue talk that he tries to put down at all times and things like that. And you think for him, I mean, look, he's a big personality. And I think in some ways he does sort of enjoy a bit of attention on himself. But I think in others, you know, with these big moments, he'd much rather everyone would be looking at the players and buzzing off the players, because I think that's what he'll be doing. He'll be love seeing the sort of joy in them.
Yeah, I think when you listen to Jürgen Klopp speak, and he often talks about this is the reward, and part of his job as a leader really is he's got to motivate the players, convince them that his plan's got merit, and that when they get there, the rewards will be worth it, and it's like this virtuous circle, and it's a virtuous cycle. And I think for him, Wednesday night going well and the players getting absolutely everything, and he wants us to have the best out of it as well, by the way, and the parade and all those things have sort of confirmed we've had that cycle of success last year. Winning in Madrid, he was able to close that loop once and then make them hungry to do it again. And it's important that Wednesday gets executed well so that they can push them on to want to do it, replicate it next year and the next year and the next year. And different people do it in different ways. We all know that Ronnie Moran would like throw a medal at somebody and say, if you've earned the medal, take a medal. And it was always, his motivation was almost downplaying the occasion. I think Klopp wants the lads to have the best night of their lives, do you know what I mean? And for them to be hungry, to feel that feeling once again. There'll be a point in time, hopefully soon, where we can all get together on a parade type of event, and they'll get further reinforcement that the fruits of your labour for this football club are unlike anything you'll get anywhere else in the world. And I think for him, they're going to work really, really hard on Wednesday and whenever this parade gets to happen, because as a team, they absolutely get that in a way that I've not seen since I was a kid, really. Shankly used to say, didn't he, they know that they these are people you play for, and they're proud to play for you.
Yeah.
I feel like that about this team.
Absolutely.
They absolutely get that. And Klopp is the conductor of that, and he reinforces that. And it's a bit cheesy to compare him to Shankly, but in a way that Shankly was absolutely obsessed with that, I think Klopp's been able to be the closest thing we've had since Shankly in that regard. So I'm dead excited for Wednesday night. I still haven't got a very clear Wednesday night plan, but I imagine I'll be crying somewhere in front of a telly. It's probably the thing that's definitely going to happen. I'll
be crying to the telly. The thing we can predict, we can certainly predict. Dan, it's for Jürgen, you know, it'd be a big moment for him. You know, it's what he knew he came to Liverpool to do, really. And, you know, obviously the European glory was amazing. And, you know, it's a bigger trophy than the Premier League one in most kind of judges. But he'll know that when he comes to Liverpool, what the first thing that the Liverpool fans saw, you know, said to him when they saw him on the street or whatever, it was that league title. And he's done it now. And he'll be reflecting on that, his own personal achievements, but also he'll know what it means to sort of every Liverpool fan that we are able to call ourselves the English champions.
Yeah, I can't help but feel, you know, the time when it got confirmed after the Chelsea City game, and there's just that interview with him, and he's completely overwhelmed. And even he says, I didn't expect to feel like this. I don't know why this has hit me the way it has. And I think that's a number of factors. I think it's all of the things that the guys have said in terms of doing it for the people. He wants that legacy for us as much as himself and his players. But it means, I mean, there's the whole thing about him when he first takes over, and he gets all the Melwood staff to walk through the players meeting, and he says, you know their names because we're all on this journey together. I think he looks at the players, but I think he looks at, you know, he looks at the receptionist on Melwood, or the women in the canteen, and he sees it as being for all of those people as well. All of those people. And I think it was that responsibility that completely overwhelmed him. I think it hit him that, you know, he's a humble guy, and he doesn't want any of the plaudits himself. But I think it hit him that, you know, he sort of put these wheels in motion for this to happen for all of us. And he's not only done that, but he's had to do that, like I said before, against a team that's getting essentially a point a season. And I think that's part of what drives him and them emotionally in terms of the let-off. I think the fact that they're up against this City side, this behemoth of football that people have said is unbeatable. You know, you look back at now, I had a look back at for something with work the other day on the De Spiegel report, leading to the CAS decision obviously to be overruled, and even the narrative around that from the German outlet when they're writing it is this Manchester City side will rule English football for the next decade. It was given, it was taken in stone that was what was going to happen. So to overcome that is in itself a huge emotional let off. So this manager is, I can't wait for us to have our moment with him, because I think it's something that is between us, and I think it's something that's built and built and built. And we know that, you know, he doesn't mind dishing a bollocking out to the people behind him in the main stand and stuff like that. But that is all when we talk about journey, that is all journey. That is all us going on a learning experience together. And I think there's going to have to be that moment where we look him and these players in the eye and we sort of say, yeah, we've done it. And until then, you know, we're not going to be able to do it properly, but we'll settle for what we've got now. And I'm sure he'll look forward and put that moment in the diary too.
Absolutely, yeah. But before all that, there's a match, Paula. There's a game of football. And they'll want to win
how
it.
How inconvenient.
But they will want to win it, won't they? Because, you know, it's the whole thing will be so much better, you know, if they are coming back from a good victory. So how do we win this game? How do they approach it? Can we hope for something similar to Palace again, do you think, when they put in, as Jürgen said, the best performance ever seen in front of no fans? Can we expect something similar? Obviously, will Chelsea allow that because they're a better team than Palace? And Chelsea have got a lot to play for as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Chelsea game's an interesting one because obviously I think we'd have been having a very different conversation had they not reached the final. However, their top four place isn't yet guaranteed, so they do need the points. They can't afford to drop them if at all possible. You know, it's last game of the season, and I'm going to say sort of, although injuries don't matter, they do matter in that if someone goes all, you know, full pelt for a victory and we get a few muscle strains, we don't have as long of a close season as we could have expected. The Arsenal defeat, both in actuality and in the manner of the defeat, will have stung. It will have stung really badly, and he'll want to put that right. And I think the players will want to put that right. They will want to win. They won't set up, I don't think, for a sort of, you know, stalemate, play it around the middle and go on the counter-attack. They will want to win. So, you know, I do think that the trophy, they'll want to win and carry that win onto the trophy presentation. I don't think they'll be planning to go up there off a stale 0-0 or 1-1. So, you know, I think they'll go out for a victory, even though Chelsea will try and stop them.
Yeah. I mean, we'll go strong on the pitch in terms of team selection, yeah, Johnny. Definitely. You know, it's been a week, obviously, since we've played, so everyone should feel fresh. There's a midfield question. John Henderson's only playing the last 5 seconds of the game. Dan sorted that. So there's a starting place up for grabs there. You would have thought. I don't know what you'd go for and what your approach would be.
I think it's a good question. I think undoubtedly we've got to go strong. I think it would be Liverpool of old sort of trope for us to go and pick up the trophy after getting beat. It would just do my head in completely. I mean, I think like the last day of the cup, getting beat by bloody Norwich.
Yeah.
All the pomp and ceremony. It would be a real. So I think you've got to go out and got to do the best to win it. And clearly, Chelsea have had less time off than we have. So maybe they'll be a little bit tired than our players. But I think in midfield, I think you'd want to see Fabinho in the number six role. I'd like to see Genie in the team. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain's been a bit patchy since he's come back. I think he's had some good spells in games, but I don't think he's put together a good... I don't think he's been given a full 90. He always seems to get substituted. So I'm not sure who would give that final burst to. Milner still injured, is he?
I think he is.
I don't think he'll start. I don't think he'd start on there. I think he's hoping to be involved.
Because I think you always feel with James Milner and Henderson, they're like the grown-ups on the pitch, aren't they, really? You sort of bring a bit more rigidity and discipline to the rest of the team. But I'd be confident that if this Liverpool team hits its straps, it's got enough for absolutely anybody in this league. And we wouldn't be where we are now if that wasn't the case. I think I've been a bit frustrated watching us up front. And that's not because we've been creating ample chances to kill these games off. And I just think what I can't work out is whether we're too casual or too keen on trying to get these golden boots going, because I think the chances that we had go begging in football matches in the last few weeks, I've got money on both. I've had money for a long time on both Salah and Mane for the golden boots, and it's been so frustrating to watch because they could have been home and hosed by now. the inability to just put the ball in the back of the net has been so frustrating, and obviously Bobby needs to break his home duck as well.
Yeah.
and this is going to be his last chance. And I just think in that final half a second in the box, we just seem to be making some pretty poor decisions. I mean, against Burnley, I was watching that game, and Pope got a lot of plaudits for his performance in goal, and I thought he did okay, but I think the save, the volley save from Salah was a good height for him, sort of shoulder height. It wasn't in the corners or anything. So I think none of the saves he made, I was thinking like Gordon Banks, he played okay. So I'd really like to see our forwards click and really. I think Chelsea are a good side, but we've got more than enough to topple them if we can get our front three playing as they should.
Chelsea got a lot of miles under the clock since they come back as well, Dan. I've noticed this, their seventh game in July alone, which is a lot. and, you know, they've rotated a little bit, but the spine of the team has largely remained unchanged. And, you know, in terms of because of, you know, injuries and things like that, there's a few players who might have had to play a little bit more than they thought. If our intensity is right and we are able to go at it, approach it, like we started the Arsenal game, to be fair, we could get on top of them, I think.
Yeah, I think being fair, I think the intensity isn't something that we've seen drop off. I think there is an argument around after the first drinks break in terms of concentration, but I don't think there's been a lack of endeavour. I think there's definitely, obviously, a sort of subconscious mental thing placed in there that the shackles are off a little bit and the playing, and that sort of has dropped to 1 or 2%, and with this team, that's massive, and we've seen that. So I think it's potentially going to be a really good game, in the sense that I think that Chelsea will come, will have aspirations of coming to win the game because they need to, first and foremost. So they'll come with a plan to sort of get at Liverpool and turn Liverpool around. And I agree with Johnny. I think sort of the front three, the midfield is sort of the least of my worries, really, is because I know that whoever he picks in there, they will keep tempo, they will put the miles in, they will, you know, look to be sharp and be positionally sound. I think where to talk about concentration, we've seen it obviously cost us, it was to our detriment against Arsenal, and we've seen it in the last few games in terms of the front three, just sort of being a little bit too casual for my liking in front of goal. And I think I want to see them a little bit pissed off, to be honest, John. I want to see them a little bit angry that they're sort of being questioned to a degree about, you know, knocking off and stuff like that as champions. And I'd like to see a sort of ruthless performance front and back. And I think that's arguably harder in defensive areas. We've seen with David De Gea at the weekend, if your concentration just lapses a second, it's all the more costly. It's all right missing chances and saying the next one will come, especially in a team that creates them like we do. But, you know, to make an error as glaring as Virgil van Dijk or Alisson did, it's not really in their character. So it shows that those types of errors can creep in if your mind isn't 100% on the task and sort of in the mindset of I have to win. So I would think there is the potential that they could still leak goals. But I think if I'm being hopeful, the front three are sort of in the mindset of no, we go and show here a bit that, you know, we put chances away early. And for me, there could be a lot of goals in this game.
Yeah, could be. Quick score predictions before we go then, Paula.
I'm going to go 2-1, cowardly. I think it's going to be way more nervy than we think or hope.
Oh, hey, Johnny.
4-1.
Brilliant, much better. Dan.
I'm going to go for a mad 3-3.
Oh, man, free. I tell you what. I tell you what, the Paul is nervous to you once. It's not sounding too bad after all. but yeah, whatever you're watching it on Wednesday, do enjoy it. We're going to be doing commentary on Hot Mic. So if you haven't joined us on Hot Mic yet, do. It's good fun. It's a nice alternative to Martin Tyler trying to ruin everything. So if you want to join us, you just watch it on your normal pictures and we do our commentary and it syncs up on you up through your mobile phone or mobile device. voice. So if you want to download Hot Mic, just make sure you use the code AnfieldRap when you download it. It's completely free. And myself and Neil will be doing the commentary on Wednesday night. Obviously, there'll be all the post-match reaction stuff for you subscribers as well on audio and video. And just a couple of other things to look out for today on our subscription audio. We've got a gutter show being recorded today. So you might think, why haven't they talked about Thiago and all the other transfer stuff? That's all on the gutter show, so don't worry. We can't possibly take that away from Rob. And also, if you want our interpretation of what happened over the weekend results, I don't know how the Manchester clubs got on, but Neil Atkinson does know, and he did a show on that first thing in the morning. And we're doing those every day at the moment, the morning after, because it's football every day. So that's something to look forward to as well. But in the meantime, huge thanks to Paula, to Johnny, and to Dan. Hope you've enjoyed that. That's been the Anfield Wrap. Up the Reds. Sports Social Podcast Network.